This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones open here as we kick off the second hour of the program. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Nikki.
You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. For those of you just tuning in, we've been talking about the cancel culture now expanding to an entire nation of human beings who are being targeted and cut off from everything from purchasing things from McDonald's and Airbnb to Netflix, various different corporations, and even being banned from international feline competitions. Now any Russian-owned cats are prohibited from being able to be shown or entered into any of these competitions. Those are some of the things we've been covering so far. And again, we're going to go back to your phone calls. But there's more to this story about this cancel culture now expanding and getting even more ridiculous than ever before. But to the phones and to your calls and thoughts, the number again, 603-283-6160. We should go to somebody that I believe, Bonnie, you invited to call into the show. Normally we don't set up phone calls, so I just want to make sure we're being clear that we specifically invited this gentleman. His name is Larry, and he's one of the folks involved in an organization that both Bonnie and Nikki have become involved in recently called Decriminalize Nature, calling from Oakland, California. Hello, Larry.
Hello, everybody. Nice to hear from you.
Well, nice to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out to us here tonight. Bonnie, can you kind of, do a recap here on, you know, why you wanted to invite Larry on and or how you found Decriminalize Nature?
Maybe? Well, I used to see articles about Decriminalized Nature and what they were doing. I don't even really know how I saw the first article, but I was bringing that show prep onto the show because I thought what they were doing was really cool. They have different chapters all around the nation that were getting decriminalization measures passed in different towns, and I just wondered one day.
Decriminalization measures for
psychedelics, sorry, for mm-hmm. for entheogenic plants and fungus is just nature, literally decriminalizing nature.
I think that's how I came across them, as we've been following the kind of the political progress of various different drug decriminalizations across the United States. And when we started seeing the headlines out of Denver and Oakland and
for me it was a bunch of towns in Michigan.
Yeah, and various different places that started to do local decriminalization of not cannabis, because that's been going on for, you know, the last two decades in a lot of places, but actual psilocybin-containing mushrooms or psychedelic mushrooms caught my attention, and that's when I saw the terminology of decriminalized nature, and I thought, well, that's a really cool concept. I'm glad there's somebody out there that's pushing the, you know, pushing the conversation further than just cannabis. And that's when it got my attention. That's probably a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, so I wondered if there was a group of people in New Hampshire working with them, and there wasn't, so I reached out to them. And Larry, I'm not sure what your position, you are with Decriminalized Nature. Were you one of the founders?
Yeah, co-founder, also a board member, and national outreach coordinator.
Yeah, so I reached out to him, and he's been really helpful, helping. I got a team together, so it's me, Nikki, nobody from the show, and one other girl that we know. And we haven't really done a whole lot, but Larry's been a great resource talking to him. And
Larry, could you take us back a little bit to the founding of Decriminalized Nature? How did that happen? What was the inspiration for it?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we're lucky to be in the San Francisco Bay Area, where this is, a pretty big conversation. It has been a conversation For a while, obviously. And so a group of us, some of us, I have another nonprofit called Entheogenic Research Integration Education, which deals with educating people about the topic of entheogenic plants and fungi, but also other psychedelics, and also helping people integrate or sort of make meaning of really profound and unusual experiences. And myself and a large group of other people came together. We started talking about, hey, how do we build like a conscious community out here based upon some of these principles? And in that conversation, we never had even began to start talking about policy or anything, but we started talking about the upcoming Denver ballot initiative, which would have decriminalized use and possession of psilocybin, and also what was happening in Oregon, which is sort of a legalized psilocybin therapy model, right? Mm-hmm. And so we started discussing what were the differences between these two models, and if, you know, what does that look like? And one of the things that we sort of came to the conclusion of is like, hey, we live in the Bay Area. Why are we waiting around for people to come to us? We can do this right here. And we just happen to have the right collection of people in the room at the right time. You know how that, you know, magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden we started talking about this and we started saying, hey, we could actually do this here in Oakland. Let's do this in Oakland. And so one of the, you know, there's a couple different points, and as Bonnie said, you know, this is about nature, and you said this as well. We really wanted to expand this beyond the conversation that was happening in Denver, in Oregon. We understood that in Denver, there's probably not a huge population of other plant medicine people out there, but here in the Bay Area, we have ayahuasca communities, we have DMT communities, we have iboga communities, we have cacti communities, like all these communities are here. And so we're like, let's have a conversation about nature. Not just about psilocybin mushrooms. Let's talk about our disconnection from nature. Let's talk about, the sovereignty to be able to grow your own plants. And this is another thing that we sort of expanded upon. Some of the other drug policy organizations out there talk a lot about use and possession, but they never decriminalize cultivation or sharing in ceremony or sharing with friends and things like that. So we're like, let's really make this about personal sovereignty, about the ability to grow your own, about the ability to share it in ceremony and to really be able to engage these practices on our own. So we said, okay, well, let's do this. And so we put together a resolution based upon some of the cannabis stuff that happened in the past in terms of decriminalization. And, the basic part in terms of how you do this on the city level versus the state level is the city level, you really can't oftentimes do things that are in conflict with state law. But what you can do, what the city does have the power to do is control the purse strings and to create prioritization for law enforcement. So really it's kind of a de facto decriminalization, which is a deprioritization. So amongst the lowest law enforcement priority, if somebody was jaywalking, they would get a ticket before, you know, someone that had mushrooms, for example. And then the second part is basically like a reallocation of funding or defunding. That's a trigger word for a lot of folks now, but taking away any kind of funding or resources for investigation, persecution, or arrest for individuals engaging in entheogenic plant practices. So that's kind of the power of the city has the ability to direct their own budget.
One of the things that I think I noticed about Oakland was, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Denver was sort of the first to decriminalize psychedelic mushrooms, but wasn't Oakland the first to do the full-on decriminalized nature, meaning that any plant, any fungi, anything that you can grow naturally has been decriminalized in Oakland? And wasn't it a unanimous decision by the city council?
Yes, it's been a unanimous decision in almost all the city councils. I think only two or three people have voted against it. Mm-hmm. One or two of them have just been from a political issue versus anything else. But yes, we went beyond, as I was saying earlier, we have all these communities here in the Bay Area. Let's bring the ayahuasca community. Let's bring the DMT community. Let's bring the, you know, the cacti community. So we did focus only on Schedule 1 substances. So, for example, all Schedule 1 plant and mushroom materials, we didn't, you know, there's some arguments that people could say for coca being an entheogenic plant in certain cultures or poppy to be an entheogenic plant in certain cultures, but those are Schedule 2. So we didn't want to focus on those. Those already have pharmaceutical exceptionalism. You know, there's already a medical model for that, and we didn't want to go up against big pharma quite yet. You know, we're already dealing with that, right? So we decided to focus on just the Schedule 1 substances. So this actually is, you know, four basically compounds, but we're talking about thousands of plants and plant combinations. You know, not a lot of people know that there's so many different plants that exist all around us that have these materials in them. So the four main categories would be cacti-containing mescaline. So mescaline would be the compound that's criminalized. plant combinations similar to ayahuasca that contain DMT. If you look at all the different MAOI and DMT combinations, which is what makes ayahuasca, you're looking at thousands of plants and plant combinations. Mushrooms that contain psilocybin, as you mentioned, which there are quite a few. And then also plants that contain ibogaine. This would be, iboga is the most common one that people are familiar with. That comes from Gabon and West Africa and is used for like traditional ancestral healing, going to the ancestors, past lives, things like that.
Larry, can you hang on the line and talk to us some more? All right, I got some more questions for Larry. He's one of the co-founders of Decriminalize Nature. And offhand, I don't have their website, but we will get that for you. That way you can go and learn more about them as well. And if you've got a question, you want to weigh in here, you're welcome to join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about decriminalizing nature.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join the show. Number 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160. We are talking with one of the founders of Decriminalized Nature. Their website, by the way, is decriminalizednature.org. That's where you can go to learn more about this organization that has done some pretty amazing work in various different localities. And helping to decriminalize possession of things like psilocybin mushrooms, iboga-containing plants, DMT-containing plants, mescaline-containing plants, and fungi and that sort of thing. And we've got Larry, who's one of the founders, on the line with us here, calling us from his home there in Oakland, where this all got started, and you were kind of taking us back. How many years ago was this that the Oakland thing? Was it like just 2018 or something like that? When was that?
Yeah, we met in December 2018. We passed in June 2019, so 1 month after the Denver ballot initiative passed. Wow. Our approach was a little bit different because we were asking for the city council to vote on it versus the constituents, which, again, like you said, it was pretty amazing. We have probably one of the most diverse city councils in the U.S. here in Oakland, and it was a unanimous decision. Everyone was behind the idea. Now I think there's 13 or 14 cities that have passed decriminalization of entheogenic plants and fungi across the U.S., like I said, most all, I think, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I think 99% of them were unanimous decisions as well.
Yeah, so that's what's been most interesting about this is the unanimity of these city councils. Normally, this would be, in any issue in front of a city council, it's going to be political and there's going to be some sort of a divide. But to go with this unanimous verdict, when you started to approach, and the other folks that you work with, when you started approaching these councilors one-on-one, was there pushback initially from a chunk of them and they were persuaded? How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, there was some pushback from some folks, and that's just, and that happens in every city. You know, there's some neutral folks, there's some people who are like, oh, I don't know about this. And, that's where good education comes into play. You just share with them, we really kind of have this three-tier system, share them the science, kind of crack their head open from the stigma, and share the personal testimonials so they can really feel in their heart, and then ground it in sort of long tradition of practice and use so they don't get stuck in the, oh, well, let's wait for the FDA trials. Let's wait for the medicalization of this. Let's not do that. We saw what happened with cannabis with all that. Let's make sure that people can grow and just decriminalize. And so I think people were really behind that pretty quickly. It did take us some time, but, it was an accelerated process. I think total time for us to pass was about 4 months, which is pretty amazing. And then since then, it's been a little bit more difficult, obviously, to pass 13 other cities across the U.S. during the pandemic when people couldn't do the lobbying, quote unquote, which is basically you sit in the lobby and you wait. Now you have to do emails, and it's really easy to say, oh, I went to my spam box. So it's a little bit harder right now, but even still in that process, we've had 13 cities that have passed, 13 other cities that have passed some sort of policy around this. We're also working with two different state legislations in Michigan. Michigan not only decriminalizes entheogenic plants and fungi, but also defelonizes all substances so people don't have really long prison terms.
You're saying that's a proposal or it's passed in Michigan?
It's a ballot initiative that they're going to start gathering signatures for in the next month or so.
So right now, the only state that has done anything at a state level is Oregon, where they did a overall drug decriminalization that didn't specifically have anything to do with decriminalized nature, though. Is there any other state that's got something that's coming up, or is it just Michigan right now?
There's Michigan and Colorado, and then there's a lot of that's ballot initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of legislation that's being worked through, but the thing about legislation is it can be influenced and changed and edited and all that kind of stuff across the way. I know Vermont's got something going on right now with Representative Brian Chena, which is some pretty good language there. We really appreciate it. We really want to take and make this legislation and these ballot initiatives as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. Our approach is like, let's exempt these from the Controlled Substances Act. You have some of these other big corporate influence PACs that are going out there, and they, 27, 30, 70 page, Oregon was like a 70 plus page ballot initiative, right, which is complex, which is difficult. There's all these licenses. There's all these barriers of access. One of the barriers of access in Oregon for the legalization of psilocybin is do you smoke too much cannabis? But there's no definition of what that means.
Wow.
You have moral integrity with no definition of what that means. So there's some problematic issues. There's a closed task force, which actually the chair of the closed task force just got resigned because of some conflicts of interest, corporate influence, and that type of thing. So there's that concern. So we really want to take this on a simple route. Let's just decriminalize, let people, you know, re-evolve culture, so to speak, around these plants and mushrooms. And then the 110, that was 109 in Oregon. The 110, which decriminalized all substances, didn't decriminalize growing, so that's still a felony. Didn't decriminalize sharing in communities, so that's still a felony. Mm-hmm. Or harvesting when there's mushrooms that are everywhere in Oregon, that's still a felony. So, and the way that they decriminalized, they put a limit on mushrooms, so they say 13 grams of mixture substance with a detectable amount of psilocybin. So if you had a 13-gram chocolate bar with a microdose in it, that would still be considered misdemeanor there. So it feeds into the other model, which is more about this has to go through the state-run, state-operated, state-trained, state-run.
Right, total control, which is this one of the things that I, when I learned this about decriminalized nature, I was pretty excited because you guys are in favor of just freedom when it comes to these plants. You're not looking for a state-regulated system with taxes and regulations and controls and permission slips and applications and fees and bureaucracy.
No more nannies.
Yeah, that to me was a huge relief to see a, you know, an organization that is trying to make these changes and not, you know, asking for a completely new bureaucracy to be created. Like here in New Hampshire, there was a big mistake of a cannabis legalization bill that passed the House recently, and it looks like it's going to die in the Senate, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a good thing if it dies, because it would require the state to be the monopoly seller of cannabis and create all new state-run monopoly stores.
Like the state liquor stores here are run by the state, and they would have a state bureaucracy for marijuana selling. It's just horrible.
Yeah,
I went
terrible.
To so many reps and told them how bad I thought it was, and they kept saying, well, we think it's a step in the right direction, and I don't see how at all.
That's the tricky, that's what they say, right? That's we need this for political expediency, or every little step works, but no, that's not the case, because once that step's taken, then the deep pockets influence it further to go towards them, and so everyone thinks all policy is good policy, and that's not the case, as you're seeing there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you guys are spread out through various different states right now. You've got some action in New England. You said Michigan. Where are the primary spots right now?
Yeah, we probably have about 50 active cities across the U.S. right now. That includes, I actually just got off a call with some folks in Georgia. There's a bunch of folks in Florida. Massachusetts, obviously, is doing some work. Vermont has some work going on there. New Hampshire. New York City is doing some stuff. Michigan, there's plenty. We've got some Montana teams, Washington teams. Some Oregon teams are trying to, some of the equity gaps that are happening there and bring it back to freedom. So there's some folks working there for that. Lots of teams going on in California, especially in Southern California. There's some folks in Texas, Arizona.
Very cool.
Louisiana. So, yeah, it's pretty much spread all across. We've even had people downloading packets from all across the world. So that's been really
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's cool.
3 months of our work, there's some actually from Moscow.
Wow.
Wow.
Moscow, we downloaded this an info packet. How do we already get to Moscow in 3 months? Pretty fast.
It's amazing. Something good going on, and it's duplicatable. It's something that people can take lessons from and just try to roll out the same concepts where they live. Ladies, do you have any questions for Larry? I mean, obviously, you've talked to him before off the air, but... Any questions for him while we have him here?
Is there anywhere people can go to donate?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go on our website, under our interview page, decriminalizenature.org/interview, or there's a mention there, but that'll be a place to do it. Or you can go to our Instagram page, at decriminalizenature. Also, another thing that I think is really important...
Hold that thought, Larry. We'll bring you back for another thing here in moments. It's free time.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Within hours after the Ukrainian president gave an impassioned plea for help from the United States, President Biden announced a new $800 million aid package to help Ukraine out as Russia continues to target civilians. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says still more could be done, though, by the Biden administration.
President Zelensky has said fighter jets are his top priority. It's what he needs most. Poland has offered up the MiGs that the Ukrainian pilots know how to fly, and Joe Biden personally vetoed those MiGs going to Ukraine. President Biden should allow those MiGs to go to Ukraine today.
Former President Donald Trump telling the Washington Examiner that if he runs for president in 2024, it will be with a new vice president. And you're listening to USA Radio News. The White House is pushing hard for lower gas prices. President Biden sending out a tweet saying oil prices are decreasing and gas prices should drop as well.
Many accept that gas prices rise quickly but fall slowly, the so-called rockets and feathers phenomenon. But President Biden rejects that.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki following that up by saying if gas retailers' costs are going down, they need to immediately pass those savings onto consumers. FEMA announced on Tuesday that its funeral assistance program has reimbursed more than $2 billion in funeral costs for more than 300,000 families of COVID-19 victims. The COVID-19 funeral assistance program provides up to $9,000 per funeral and covers COVID-related deaths since January 20, 2020. The average amount awarded per death is $6,500. USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about decriminalizing nature. There's a lot of nature that has been criminalized, in case you weren't aware. And we're talking about things that could alter your state of consciousness in many cases, in a very positive way. There's a great organization called Decriminalize Nature. Their website, decriminalizenature.org, they came out a few years ago and did some work in Oakland, California to get a decriminalization measure put into effect by the city council there, and it was done so unanimously. And as Larry, who's one of the co-founders, is with us here, pointed out, this has been unanimous in almost every city council where they've duplicated this, basically the same kind of language in a variety of different places from Michigan. I think Ann Arbor was one of the locations. And how many Massachusetts towns? You mentioned Massachusetts. It's been a handful, right?
Yeah, there's another group out there too named Base Hitters that's been helping out, but the Decrim Nature team and, you know, that basic resolution was sort of replicated in other places. So we helped out with Somerville and Cambridge, and then I believe Northampton and East Hampton also passed. So I believe it's four cities in Massachusetts. I think that would be the most in a state at the moment. Mm. We have three in California. We have three, I think, in Michigan, with a fourth coming up hopefully in a week or two. So that would be great. It seems like Massachusetts, Michigan, and California, for whatever reason, are kind of leading the way.
It's great progress in, you know, for an organization that's not even been around for 5 years at this point. So kudos to you. You were giving some examples of donation suggestions and the website, and that you were in the middle of explaining one of them. And we had to cut you off there for a moment, so
sure.
Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, sorry about my talking into your commercial time.
No problem.
If you want to donate, we do actually take crypto now, too, which I forgot to mention.
Cool.
Which is on BitPay.
Nice.
So if you can either find that link on our Instagram or on our website. You go to our website. Is going to be, I believe, decriminalizednature.org/contribute or events contribute. Let me check on that real quick. But what I was saying right before we left off there was that, it's decriminalizednature.org/events/contribute, and that'll be our page, and talks about, you know, what donations are going to and
nice.
What we've been up to.
Yep, there's a BitPay option.
Kind of thing. Yep, great. Yeah, so that's one thing. But what I was saying earlier is that, you know, one of the things that I think that it was really powerful for me in this whole process is, you know, because before we had started this, you know, I studied, you know, this from more of an academic perspective, and I had the nonprofit, which was dealing with education integration. So this is my first run of policy. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any policy experience before this. And so what I think is also beautiful about this is seeing people all across the U.S. re-remembering, I guess, or relearning how to re-engage with elected officials, with government, reminding each other that, hey, the government works for us. Hey, we're their constituents. They're supposed to be doing what we ask them to do, you know? And so what is that process? How does that work? How do we engage with city council? How do we write a resolution? How do we write press releases? All these different types of things, which I think sounds like you're a little bit more advanced there, this crew in New Hampshire. But, you know, for some people, it's totally new. So it's also kind of an interesting thing to be able to help people re-understand what direct democracy is all about, which I think is part of this process. Yes, we're helping to decriminalize entheogenic plants and fungi, but down the road, now people are going to have tools to really kind of make whatever kind of change they can think of through this process. So it's been really a beautiful thing for my own learning process as well.
On the contribute page, I was just scrolling down that as you were explaining that, and there's actually a cool little map that you guys have that show the various different active cities and states and cities that have already decriminalized.
We need to update that map. We need to update that map. It's already changed quite a bit since then. So
very nice.
So how did you get into thinking that this is a really important topic, just the entire topic of entheogenic plants and fungi? How did you decide that that's something you want more people to experience and have the freedom to be able to?
Yeah, so for me, as I was saying earlier, this has been something I've been really interested in for quite some time, since probably about, you know, I had my first experiences in 1996 or something like that, and started to look into the research. Is there research out there from an academic point of view? I was a little bit more into neuroscience at the time, and as I was having my experiences, I was like, neuroscience doesn't tell us anything about consciousness if this is what consciousness is all about, right? So it was kind of mind expanding and kind of had a little bit of a,
LRN.FM. The dump button. You are on broadcast radio, so normally if somebody says that, we have to get rid of them completely, but we're going to give you another chance here, so just be careful and remember that the FCC doesn't like those words.
Yeah, I apologize profusely.
That's all right. You were saying, though, go ahead and take yourself back 20 seconds and start over.
Sure. Yeah. So I was studying this in school and realizing that neuroscience wasn't really showing me the same things that the mushroom experiences were showing. So I became very fascinated sort of on the inner experience. And then I did a big long road trip and was talking to other people. And in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of this research happening. So I realized it was even stifling science, so to speak, you know. Mm. Then as I became more interested in this, I realized, like, wow, indigenous cultures, and I kind of knew this, but like really became clear that indigenous cultures have been working with this, and underground cultures have been working with this for decades, centuries, millennia. So it became pretty clear that there was sort of this battle of consciousness, so to speak, that spirituality of the sacred experience. And so to really be able to at least get rid of the criminal penalties, you know, I'm not advocating for dispensary models. I'm not advocating for medicalization. We are as an organization as well. But we are saying, hey, let's make sure that if people want to explore consciousness, which is a human right, we believe this is an unalienable right to have our own relationship with nature. And so to be able to engage with folks, in this way, you can't do it when it's criminalized. There's a lot of people who just naturally won't do anything if it's against the law.
Yep.
You know, some of us will, some of us won't. And so if we can change these laws, then we're going to be opening up a lot more people to the opportunity to have these experiences. Where, again, we're not encouraging or we're not saying that everyone should do it, but certainly shouldn't have these legal restrictions to be able to, have our own relationship with our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it'd be very interesting to see how America would be and the world if these medicines were more widely used, like how much more peaceful and how much more evolved could we possibly be if this was part of the norm. And you know, it's not for everybody, but just like you mentioned, a lot of people won't do something if it's illegal out of fear or mm-hmm. whatever the reasoning is. So once we make these things legalized or at least decriminalized, it opens up a lot more people to the possibility of exploring these different avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's the criminalization aspect, but it's been stigmatized for 60 plus years now as well. Plus,
sure.
Further back, if you want to go before the Controlled Substances Act, you know, and you look at the eradication of cultures that were using sacred plants all across the world. And so, so I think that, it's there's also this level of stigma. Like, for example, if doctors want to talk to their patients about it, that's not like a legal issue, that's a licensure issue now.
Yeah.
So stigma comes into even how people are working and how people can engage with this conversation, how people can educate. So we really see decriminalization as also a risk reduction strategy so that people that are already doing this research, that are already talking about it, that are already undergrounding, you know, their practices can come above ground, share with people in the community, educate people about the benefits, you know, about the risks, all these type of things, and do it in a way that they don't have to worry about it. So I think there's a criminalization aspect, and then there's the stigma aspect. And the education really is to sort of get over that stigma. And I think what we're seeing is education works because unanimous decision, like you said, across most of the cities. So it's really beneficial to be able to talk to people about this in a good way.
Larry, I want to thank you for calling in tonight and sharing decriminalized nature with our audience. I'm sure a lot of them maybe are hearing it for the first time. So, again, check them out online at decriminalizednature.org. And you mentioned there's an Instagram. What is the handle there?
At Decriminalized Nature. And also there's a great team in New Hampshire forming. So if you're in New Hampshire, kick out Bonnie and crew, and we can help you decriminalize out there in New Hampshire.
Very good, Larry. Thanks for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. And, again, thanks, Larry. One of the nice things here in New Hampshire is we didn't even, like, before Decriminalized Nature even formed in New Hampshire, there was already state representatives who put forth a piece of legislation to decriminalize psilocybin mushrooms. So that's actually still in the legislature. The full House has yet to vote on that. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160 in the studio tonight. Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Nikki.
Join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. We have some features, and they are all free, including our social media platform, which you can follow over at social.freetalklive.com. And you can do more than follow. You can post to it. You can post whatever opinions that you would like to have, unless they're spam. That's the only people I've ever deleted from social.freetalklive.com are the obvious spammers who just come there to spam a thing or have a thing spamming in their profile settings or whatever. Otherwise, just express yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. It's a Mastodon-based system, which means it's open source, it's self-hosted, it's federated, so that means it's connected to other Mastodons. So if you're already on another Mastodon, you can follow our accounts from your existing Mastodon, which is pretty cool. So check it out at social.freetalklive.com. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts, but as I was mentioning, we were talking with Larry from Decriminalized Nature. And the two of you have started up a New Hampshire, I guess, division or
chapter, I think they're referred to, yeah.
Of decriminalized nature. But y'all did that after there was already a bill that was submitted.
And I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, and...
I don't know if you did, Bonnie, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't testify at the hearing.
But beforehand, like before we even started?
Oh, before I started decriminalized nature, no, or... No, I didn't know that at all. I can't remember how I first heard about it. Was it you found it, Ian? Oh, no, I found it because I started looking into the... You can just read what all the bills are, and we were looking up the word, like, decriminalized psilocybin to see if there was one in there. We were like, wow, there actually is.
Yep, and it is still in the process. It was put in front of a committee where you and I, we went and testified on that, Bonnie, and that, I believe that video is up on the Free Keen Odyssey if you want to watch it. It's pretty interesting, and there was actually a state legislator that got in front of that committee and gave a lengthy discussion and had some really good points as well. And I thought we were very persuasive. I thought it felt to me like the committee was listening and interested, but yet they voted 18-2
for the status quo.
To kill the thing, which is what they call inexpedient to legislate here. Now, to be fair, some bills can get voted inexpedient to legislate in committee and be reversed on the floor of the state house. So this thing isn't over yet, necessarily. Now, what happens on the floor, we don't know. When it's coming to the floor, we don't know. I don't think it's this week. At least I haven't heard anything about it being this week. Supposedly, they're dealing with like 200 bills this week at the state house. So, you know, if you're interested in these issues and you are a Free State Project early mover, or I guess not early moving now, if you're just a Free State Project mover or you're a liberty lover here in New Hampshire and you want to get active on this, y'all are so new with Decriminalized Nature in New Hampshire, I don't think you have any contact.
I don't have any contact info for the actual group itself, because at first I was just keeping it small because we have lots of things we were distracted by, like the CACR 32 bill and just lots of other things. So if somebody is interested and they live in New Hampshire and they want to help, they can email me at bonnie@freetalklive.com.
And you'll get them connected with whatever you guys have.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So check that out. And let's see, I felt like there was one other aspect. Oh, yeah. The other thing that's worth mentioning here is that New Hampshire is pretty unique amongst the states, because we have a Supreme Court decision that came out in December of 2020, so fairly recent. It was in a case of a man who was arrested for psilocybin mushrooms, and he was, you know, sentenced to prison for possession of drugs or whatever, and he appealed that case and said, I'm appealing on the basis that I'm a member of the Oklavoyha Native American Church, which is a psychedelic church. For those that aren't familiar with it, y'all can look it up. It's hard to spell, but just look for psychedelic Native American church, and I'm sure it'll be the first thing that that comes up. And he's a member of this church. He has a membership card, and he follows the church's sort of their prohibitions. You know, they're not allowed to do the mushrooms in a certain way. Like, you're not supposed to be out in public.
Driving, yeah.
You're not supposed to be driving, right? You're supposed to be in a safe place inside your home. And it turns out that the New Hampshire Constitution is actually stronger on religious freedom than even the United States Constitution. And the most important thing to take away from this, also, unanimous court decision by the New Hampshire Supreme Court. Not one justice voted against this. Unanimously, they decided that to overturn this man's conviction, to free him from jail, and on the basis that he was doing these mushrooms for a religious reason, for a spiritual purpose. And what they found was that the New Hampshire Constitution, not only does it protect your right to religion, like the U.S. Constitution, it goes further and it protects your right to worship in the way that you choose. So if the way that you worship God is to do some magic mushrooms as a spiritual practice, by the New Hampshire Supreme Court, they're saying that is a completely legal thing to do in the state of New Hampshire. So there are not many other decisions like that around the country. In fact, if you look at the Oklavoyha Native American Church, they have like a legal page. I don't think there are any other court decisions like that in the United States. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I loved how Larry said one of the reasons he wanted to start Decriminalized Nature was because he believes it's his inalienable right to be connected with nature in that way and to use entheogenic, be connected to vegetable gnosis, as I love to say. But if somebody doesn't want to hear that, like, oh, that's not your inalienable right, they should at least understand that it's part of some people's religion, and they should be allowed to. I mean, it could be part of anybody's religion. Once they have had their first experience with it, I hardly see how it couldn't become part of your religious beliefs to, I need to be allowed to do this, and nobody should be threatening me with
a jail cell
for doing this.
Absolutely. It is a very spiritual practice, and it's a way to honor the earth that we're living on.
It's unfortunate that the government probably in all states thinks, I mean, we know with the vaccine mandates that the government thinks that they need to have like a already set up church. I mean, for that to be part of your religion, I think that's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, I mean, the government shouldn't be able to decide what is and what is not a church, mm-hmm. and I think that gets into a really sticky area for them when they do that, and it makes it so they could be challenged, I think. But regardless, let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Jet is on the line calling us from Washington State. You're on Free Talk Live, Jet.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Ukrainian-Russian thing, but first I'd like to mention how envious I am of you guys who have found beautiful, intelligent, and eloquently liberally-minded women up there. I don't know how you did it, but feel free to start a matchmaker service.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
I think Bonnie already has one.
Yeah, they're already taken.
Well, I know that, but I mean...
No. I meant relationship advice.
Oh, yeah, I give it relationship advice on the radio if you ever need it.
Are you saying, Jet, that the lady should start a matchmaking service?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you're a liberty lady... If you're a liberty lady, you basically have your pick of the guys, because there's way more males than there are females up here, and so...
Yeah, okay.
So.
Okay. Back to the world of imagination.
Yes.
So the way I see this whole thing is we exist in a world of imagination, illusion, and fantasy. Now, pay attention to this keyword, imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the world which is manipulated by these evil people imagining themselves as kings, presidents, governors, etc.
Mm.
A world of concepts, notions, and methods created in the minds of men, well, mostly men, and implemented as a common way of thinking over time, the example, of course, being time that we reference in years, days, months, that kind of stuff. But it's only really significant if we're at a particular place on Earth. So we have to imagine that we're participating in this common, what I call illusion, delusion, fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to the fantasy of rulers, I was saying that first one person or gang has to imagine that they are more important, superior to other humans. I consider that a serious mental disorder. You know, you're talking about the plant thing. I have asked this question for decades, how it's, you know, explain to me the magic of how certain humans can make God's creation illegal. You know, it's just, it's mind-boggling, but most people just can't imagine it. So sticking with imagination. Finally, most of the people within some imaginary borders have to adopt those same imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
The imagination that this demonic human has special magical powers that you and I don't have, that they have the right to make rules and make war against those who disagree or disobey their rules. So here's the meat.
Hold that thought, Jet. We're going to continue here with more. He's going to get to the meat, and we're going to share that in moments. Hour number 3, by the way, is on the way. Plus, since we're talking about drug decriminalization and drug legalization, Bonnie, you've got a story about a hunger strike that is planned for later this year, apparently, on this issue. And we're going to find out more about that on the way. This is Free Talk.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.